Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Now, as you heard in the headlines, and Taoiseach Simon Harris said today that the agriculture sector was making relative progress compared to others in terms of cutting carbon emissions. He didn't think the recent intensification of the dairy industry was a mistake, or that there should be a cut to the national herd. He was speaking at an event to mark the publication of a report from Fine Gael's National Agricultural Food and Rural Development Forum. Also at the event was Martin Hayden, who's Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, who joins me now in studio. Minister, you're very welcome to the programme. Before we get into the detail of this plan, you might tell me exactly and briefly what it is. It's not an IFA policy document, as far as I know. It's not a Fine Gael policy document. What is it?
So the Fine Gael National Agriculture, Food and Rural Development Forum is a body made up of over 50 Fine Gael ordinary grassroots members who have volunteered their time over the last 2 years to work on a forum that engages with Fine Gael politicians, that engages with the public. We've had a series of meetings, the length and breadth of the country, over 16, from parish halls to hotel function rooms, some in farmers' yards, where average attendance was 150, 200 people at every one, chaired by Eddie Downey, who's a former president of the IFA, but a Fine Gael member who's volunteering his time here as well.
So a big consultation with the sector, and the plan was launched on foot of that, is it?
Exactly.
And endorsed in by the Taoiseach today.
So what happened at the Fine Gael Ardèche 6 weeks ago was Taoiseach Simon Harris called on the forum to produce a report and a plan from all of that engagement. And that's what that recommendation is today.
He launched it today, didn't he?
It was presented to the Taoiseach today and myself on a farm in Kildare.
So does it come with the Fine Gael and Taoiseach endorsement in this plan?
So it's from the grassroots members. It's from the engagement that we've had around the country. Yeah. It very much reflects all the points that were raised in those meetings, touching on the concerns that farmers have. And it's something that we in Fine Gael now are absolutely going to give serious consideration to the range of
But not endorse.
Well, you know, there's very good measures in there. We've only got it presented to us today, okay. So we will absolutely consider it. And, you know, a lot of the measures in there is good merit in, and there are points that have been raised.
Okay. Give me the big asks or the big ideas from the plan then mentioning.
There's five key themes here, and some of them are short-term, some of them are more longer-term issues. You know, the future of the CAP is obviously at foremost of everyone's mind. Farm succession is a really big concern for farmers and about the future of agriculture and making sure that future farm incomes are sustainable, that the next generation wants to take on that farm. But there are impediments around succession too that are touched on in this report. The reforms around land leasing is something that potentially could be done in the short term to make sure that some heat is taken out of the rental market at the minute. Fine Gael has made changes around, successive Fine Gael government's made changes around the long-term leasing, which has been very good for giving access to land for younger farmers. But again, as things evolve, that does need to be relooked at. Farm diversification, climate and the environment, and then protecting rural life, because rural development has been a key part of this. My colleague, Minister Heather Humphreys, would have attended a number of these meetings as well.
Yeah.
And farmers are a key part of...
It's a wish list, isn't it? It's like the future CAP, succession, reform of land leasing, climate, environmental issues, protecting rural life. In a way, this is mom and apple pie stuff, isn't it?
I know.
It's a pre-election cosy up, is it, to farmers?
No, what it is reflecting what farmers on the ground, and not just necessarily, these meetings were open to the public, they were attended by people of all political backgrounds who have a real interest in rural life and in farming. And what all those meetings were the same, because farmers are quite positive despite maybe how they're portrayed at times, we talked about challenges, but very quickly all of those meetings went to talking about solutions, and that's what is in this report.
I know, but you're not endorsing, and you were very quick and careful not to sidestep that and question.
No, but it's
endorsement.
Not my report.
But you're not endorsing this in Fine Gael, despite the Taoiseach being there, you being there. You're saying this is a consultation, we'll consider it, but really it's not worth the paper it's written on in a way.
It is absolutely an integral part of our democratic process. In our political party, we have a listening process there with our grassroots members. They have presented that report to us, and we're going to give it really serious consideration.
But some of this is contrary to government policy already, isn't it? In this plan, my jaw dropped. In this plan, there's an ask. A task force will be established, or should be established, to retain the nitrates derogation. This has been dealt with, hasn't it, by the European Commission already, and the government. The government issued a statement in September last saying that the Commission has already ruled this out.
No. So what we have is our current derogation. What happened last September was the derogation limit dropped from a stocking density of 250 kilograms. Well, we'll get into the technicality of it, nitrogen per hectare, from 250 to 220. That's where we're at now. But that derogation, that exemption from the stocking density rules across Europe, ends at the end of 2025. So what the focus around the derogation now is the case that Ireland will make, which is we have a very different system to farming than the rest of mainland Europe because of our pasture-based system.
That case has been made already to the Commission, hasn't it?
But this is about the next derogation, that we retain the 220, which is absolutely critical. All of you, we still have a derogation.
Ruled on that already?
Just to be clear, we still have a derogation. The midterm review last year dropped that limit from 250 to 220. The rest of Europe is operating at 170. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely imperative for our rural economy and for our farmers that 220 is maintained. We have to make a really strong case to Europe. We also need to reverse our trends on water quality, even though our water quality is good by European standards, and an overall task force. But just to your point around government, Cabinet this week considered proposals around the nitrous derogation. There's agreement across government that absolutely making the case and starting to work now on making that case for another derogation beyond 2025 is absolutely critical.
But the Commissioner Sinkevicius had a meeting with Charlie McConnell already, and this was issued in September.
Two different things. This was last year, which was the midterm review. We are now at 220. That is a change from 250, but to drop to 170 would be catastrophic for our agricultural industry. So that next decision, 220 is done.
Is the one you're working on now. Okay, so thanks for clearing that up. But the question then arises is, how is that compatible with climate action goals?
It absolutely is, because our pasture-based system is how our water quality is very good by European standards. The intensification of our farming system is very different because our animals are out on grass in our pasture-based system compared to other European countries. That's why we have this special exemption to the rule. But we do need to work in partnership with farming, and that's why we have allocated a €60 million EIP grant to support farmers on improving our water quality while also making sure that we maintain that derogation. So this document talks to how in a practical way we can have a broader task force to ensure that we put our best foot forward on having a derogation into 2026.
What's in this plan about diversification in farming and forestry in particular?
Well, diversification and climate action, look, ultimately here, farmers, you know, are custodians of the land. And at every meeting over the last 2 years, it does come up farmers feel they get a bad rap for what it is they do.
What's in the plan about forestry?
So, well, what it talks about beyond even not as specific as forestry.
But forestry is one in particular that has been in the news for various reasons of late. So I just wonder, this is a wide consultation with the sector. What's in the plan on forestry?
So what it talks about is diversification and the climate elements. So you can talk about renewables, you can talk about forestry, you can talk about those other elements. And what it's at its heart is that farmers are on a journey. We're reducing our emissions profile over a number of years. Forestry is a key part of that in terms of helping us to do that.
But forestry is only mentioned once as far as I can see.
But farmers, you'll actually notice there isn't one specific farming enterprise mentioned here. This doesn't hone in.
Forestry is mentioned, but it's only mentioned once.
Yes, but
and the reason I ask
beef and dairy isn't the same.
No, I know.
These are broad issues that impact all farmers.
This is in the backdrop of the EPA saying that the current planting target for forestry was 8,000 hectares per annum. It's only now at 2,500 hectares.
So one of the lines from the report today talks about encouraging farm diversification to improve incomes. The general point is farmers can't go green if they're in the red financially. So those financial supports, so whether that's the forestry programme, we've recently allocated €79.5 million to address the Ash dieback legacy issues there for farmers to be able to move on from that. We have a €1.3 billion towards the forestry programme. But we don't. This report talks about, you know, whether it's renewables, whether it's solar, whether it's anaerobic digestion and the biomethane strategy, which is really, really important.
Really urgent and big goals in climate action. Forestry is key as well. And before
farmers are up for those challenges.
Are they though? Because this plan says, while it's important Ireland has a land use policy, the right of farmers to determine what they do with their own farms and land must always come first.
That's just reflecting what's enshrined in the Constitution.
What about climate action?
I think that is
what about
fair
climate
enough.
Action?
So climate action, do you know what is at the heart of this report? Is you bring farmers with you in partnership. This report is about a partnership with farmers.
8,000 hectares per annum.
Yes, and absolutely. The €1.3 billion forestry programme we have, we've dealt with a lot of our issues around planning that were the result of a court
case.
We're
failing to meet that target.
Oh, we are short of the target and we have big ambitions to go there and the €1.3 billion. But these things will only ever work if
farmers can do what they want with the land first.
Because Cormac, you won't get anywhere if you force people into doing something. This will work in partnership. You take the biomethane strategy. We want to see really significant investment in anaerobic digestion. And there's no reason that farmers can't have energy co-ops, that they retain ownership of that system the same way we've had food co-ops in the past.
Another reason maybe why you won't endorse this is that the plan calls on Fine Gael to enshrine protections for one-off rural housing. But government guidelines published in February advises local authorities to promote and support housing that would offer an alternative to people who might otherwise construct rural one-off housing. Is that contradictory?
No, not at all. So what at its heart in the rural development and the protecting rural life chapter of this report speaks to is maintaining balanced regional development, having a healthy, vibrant, renewed population in our rural areas, that our schools in our rural areas and our businesses are all maintained by that growing, burgeoning population. So to do that, we need obviously rural housing to be able to do that. There's a number of different ways that can be done, but also the area of remote working, investing in our roads and our transport, food business, our coastal and fishing communities are all covered under the Protecting Rural Life Element.
So does Fine Gael enshrine protections for one-off housing?
So one-off housing is one element of it. We see pilot programs that have been brought out with service sites within villages where people may not need to build on the actual farm but can live back in that community, because invariably what happens when young rural dwellers move away to college and to work, they want to come back to the family.
Do you support one-off housing?
Yes, one-off housing is an integral part of rural Ireland. It has to be done in a managed and sustained way.
I think colleagues in the Green Party?
I presume I'm not going to be here to speak for them.
But it's a coalition.
Yeah, no, it is a coalition. But like, what at its heart is maintaining balanced regional development. Rural Ireland is thriving now. It's absolutely important that people can live there. And the point I was going to make is...
Is it sustainable, though, that plan?
It absolutely is. Because when rural dwellers settle down and have a family, they want to get back. I know this from my own personal experience at home as well. You want to be back near your family support network. In a sustainable way, absolutely.
This is a pre-election cosy up with farmers.
This is the process... of 2 years' work, which a voluntary group of Fine Gael members have held a series of meetings and engagements. They've presented that report to the Taoiseach.
Is it a strategic political move to get support from rural Ireland?
No, it is. At its essence, it's the democratic process of a political party engaging on issues, talking about policy, some of which are policies that could be incorporated.
But you're not endorsing the asks here. Okay.
No, but we're going to consider them and give them due consideration and talk to our coalition partners about it. And some of it, the longer term piece, will be beyond the electoral cycle as well.
Can I ask you, outside of this plan, on another issue today, Minister Martin Hayden, Thornton Hall. It's being mentioned, it was to be a prison once upon a time. It's a major site in North Dublin. It's cost millions already. It's being assessed, we find out now, as a site for tented accommodation for asylum seekers. When is it going to be up and running?
So I'm not aware that there's been confirmation of Thornton Hall, but I do know there is assessment of a vast amount of state-owned property, which there needs to be, because we have to address the accommodation challenges we see in terms of migration. I think just to put the migration challenge into context.
Well, the Taoiseach, just on Thornton Hall, the Taoiseach said that site would be a logical location to provide large-scale tented accommodation.
And he also said any final decision is a matter for the Minister for Integration.
So, how long will the assessment take?
I would imagine there's a number of sites being assessed at a minute, and I would expect to have decisions on them imminently or very, very soon.
In weeks then?
I would think so. Like, it's not my announcement, so I can't put a timescale on it.
But do you think it's a good site?
What I think in general is we have to move to the provision of shelter and accommodation being provided in a structured way on state-owned sites. I think that's absolutely...
Reception centres?
Well, I mean, like, people having tents on the side of a canal are in makeshift areas with no sanitation, with no running water, people who are vulnerable. That's not fair on them. It's not how we should run things.
Could Thornton Hall be a reception centre?
Any state-owned site should be considered, and we should look at them. And this is in the context of the fact that in recent years, the average amount of people seeking international protection here was somewhere between 3,500 and 4,000. This year alone, we've seen 7,600 people come here up until the month of May. Mm-hmm. We've increased the space of accommodation in response to this. Last year, we increased the amount of accommodation, state-provided accommodation to people seeking international protection by 10,000 additional places.
So you're outlining how urgent the situation is.
Yes.
We've been promised 6 reception centres on a long-term basis for a long time now. When are we going to find them out?
I hope as soon as possible. Because
what does that mean, though? We've been told that for a long time.
Well, look, obviously the sites have to be assessed, and there's due diligence that has to be done in that area. What the Taoiseach has put a very clear focus on is moving away in case there was any silo mentality between different departments, to move to a point that this is a whole of government approach, that we make clear decisions quickly.
But you're certainly failing in that, aren't you?
I believe we're making good progress. This is a very fluid situation. We're dealing with it in real time.
Those figures
I've outlined, and like in the last 2 years, it's changed
dramatically. Even bigger figures were mentioned by Simon Comey 2 years ago at the outset of the Ukraine war. And you knew that the types of figures that would come to the country. Do you accept at this point that you've simply failed to provide the long-term accommodation that was foreseen and needed at the time?
No, I even think compared to 2 years ago, it was very different, because then you were talking predominantly Ukrainian. Now that has shifted and changed. If you look at how this has played out in terms of the accommodation that was provided by privately, by developers, by people offering up their homes. Okay. The situation has changed, but I think the Taoiseach has made this very clear that this conversation always just focuses on accommodation. And accommodation...
Because in his own words, there's makeshift shanty towns for asylum seekers.
And that's what we're going to fix. And
that's why it's focused on accommodation.
And that's what we're going to address. But migration issue alone is far broader than that. We need... this is a whole of government approach, from justice to integration.
Okay.
Accommodation is only one part of that.
Okay. Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Martin Hayden of Fine Gael, thank you.